An operatic pig known as Christopher Hogwood has brought Cy Montgomery, Bill Russell, and I together.
Well, saying that, one of the interesting things is the name, of course, Christopher Hogwood, which for many people is a familiar name, not just because of your beloved friend, and the fact that the eponymous Mr. Hogwood was gracious about this. I found a tribute to everybody concerned in this.
Who is he?
He's an extremely elegant and handsome and talented conductor and also an exponent of early music. And this is one reason that my husband chose to name Christopher Hogwood after the human Christopher Hogwood, because he felt, what early music is there than a hog's grunting? And we used to always listen, you know, we'd listen on National Public Radio to his fantastic, just about any time we heard Christopher Hogwood conducting, we knew it was going to be something wonderful. And pigs love classical music. They all do. They have a great appreciation for the great things in life. They love, I mean, they really know what's wrong with a bucket of cupcakes, you know? Right. They love delicious food. They love the feel of little hands petting and massaging them. They love the sweet scent of the earth on a sunny day. They love resting in the sun and rooting in the cool grass.
Mud.
Exactly. And that's one thing Christopher always did for everyone he met. He would escort you or drag you kicking and screaming into loving the sweet savor of this world. And that's what I think all animals can bring to us that we sometimes lose. It's one of the many things that animals bring
including
to us.
Including iguanas. It doesn't have to be a large mammal. It can be anybody.
That's right.
But you have to be tuned to it. And I really...
You have to be open.
I use tune as in the music of the spheres, as in paying attention. We talk increasingly about as one gets older, the illusion of multitasking goes away. Now, none of us can multitask. It's just the way the brain works. It's an illusion. And as one gets older, you're simply unable to do as many things and fool yourself into thinking you're doing a lot at the same time.
The problem is, you know, multitasking works as long as you can remember what the next task is. The problem is the problem is not multitasking. The problem is remembering where you are or remembering that you're supposed to go into something else.
Yeah, and pigs do not multitask.
Nobody multitasks.
You don't see, they don't even try, they don't even fool themselves into thinking. You see Christopher Hogwood eating. He is so absorbed in this. And people will stand around fascinated watching. And this is not just because Hancock, New Hampshire does not have a movie theater. This is
which
because
it does not.
It's true. And you saw him eating. It's a fantastic thing to watch someone following their bliss. And the way a pig eats, too, you think that they just hoover everything up. And that's not true at all. And he would carefully select, with great delicacy, although also along with ropes of foaming drool, exactly the thing that he liked most first, and eat that, and then
eat
move on to the next
first.
Thing. And concentrate on it, you know?
Yeah.
And this is a great thing to watch.
Well, you know what you bring to my mind is talking about yourself as you were a child who, not once but twice, as a little kid, would sit still enough to have your portrait painted. Why?
I was watching a candle burn. My mother thought I was retarded, but I always was able to concentrate. I mean, maybe there was something wrong with me, but it helped.
Oh, not at all. That, I mean, what you are saying about Christopher Hogwood being that kind of in the eternal moment is precisely the same as that child who you were, and perhaps still are, able to really be there in the moment.
Mm-hmm. As a diet plan.
Years ago,
I was in Yugoslavia. I was traveling alone, what was then Yugoslavia, and went out to dinner. It was one of those rare times when I actually spent real money.
Buck and a quarter, huh?
Yeah. and I'm sitting there, and I realized that I was eating thinking of the next bite or thinking of something else instead of paying attention to what I was doing at that. And I spent the, there was nobody around. My Yugoslavian, my Slavic, in any of its variations was not very good, so I was pretty much there by myself. And it was extraordinarily difficult to force myself to focus on each bite. always looking, you know, looking ahead, looking out, looking somewhere, but never focused. And one of the things that Christopher, one of the lessons, what you were just talking about, is that that focus, that enjoyment, that in the momentness.
No delayed gratification in this.
No delayed gratification. But it's also a wonderful diet plan, because what it does is slow you down.
Well, that's true. And actually,
I didn't work for Chris.
No,
he had some other skills.
750
Well, there was a point at which, as you know, he was forced to go on a diet, and this was after the ice storm of '98. It knocked out the power for half of Hancock, New Hampshire. And immediately I realized what this meant. It meant the melting contents of all of these refrigerators were slowly rolling towards our pig's sty. Everyone in town knew about Chris, and now, you know, that their frozen Sara Lee chocolate cake had gone off, and their Haagen-Dazs ice cream, and that, you know, the frozen smoked fish, and the amazing stuff that this pig got to eat. And
because he didn't care that it was melted.
Well, no,
it was a little.
He
off.
Was happy about, and we actually had things arrived not just by the bucket but by the barrel. But after a while, as with many of us when we get older, he developed some arthritis. And when you put weight on and you've got arthritis, it's just going to make things worse. And the vet finally decreed that he was going to have to go on a diet. And the horror, you know, to separate him from his muse. But as you said, Bill, what did we do for the diet? We ate everything we ate before, but less of it and more slowly. I would fish things out of the slops bucket and, looks like a cupcake here or what? Now, what's this? Is this spanakopita? Yeah, it looks like spanakopita. And I would hand feed him every morsel and we'd discuss it and he'd enjoy it. And I ended up spending more time with him, which was a bonus for me. And he ate more slowly, and he was able to take off some of that weight. I mean, he had to lose, when you and I think, oh, gee, I'd love to lose 5 pounds or 10 pounds, he had to lose 100 pounds.
Whoa!
So that was a daunting task. But we were able to do it.
And this is another yes-and
yes
story.
And
you did spend more time, and you did have a chance to tell us about it, and you did have a chance to tell us about our mutual friend Elizabeth Marshall Thomas, known as Liz. She did fine losing weight when she had what she called swill, you know?
I know, that was swill. Very funny. I wrote about that in the book. Because, I mean, there's all these great humans in the book as well as animals. And the animals are not just Chris. I mean, as you pointed out, there's Tess in there. There's our ladies, our flock of chickens, who are very smart and individual. There's cockatiels. There's children who aren't biologically mine, but they are very much part of my family. I mean, there's all kinds of folks in there, but that was very funny. Liz told me, and I agreed, that finally I had my bestseller. I was going to write the My Pig Lost 100 Pounds on This Diet, and everyone would want it.
And everyone does want it. It's called The Good, Good Pig. Be with us when we return with Christopher Hogwood, The Good, Good Pig, Cy Montgomery, The Good, Good Writer and Person, Bill Russell and I, Paula Gordon. We'll be back in just a moment.